And joining me now in the KRVS studios is quite a trio here. I know everyone's feeling the change in weather, and for so many people that means festival time.
Yeah.
And I've got festival people in here, Pat Mold with Festivals Acadia et Creole, and two amazing curators who are putting together an exhibit at the Hilliard University Art Museum for the festival and in the theme of Festivals Acadia et Creole. Chris Segura and Anya Burgess are here, and they've been setting that exhibit up and are pretty excited about it. So, Pat, maybe tell us about the theme, first of all, before we jump into what they're doing over there at the museum.
Crafting the Louisiana, South Louisiana sound, the making instrument. Help me out, Anya.
It's all about local instrument builders.
Yeah. So what we decided to do is take the focus off the stage and the musicians and really put it on the music instrument makers this year. And so that's where Anya and Chris come into the equation. They're putting together this fabulous exhibit at A. Hayes Town Home, which is connected to the Hilliard University Art Museum now. And so, again, we just wanted to kind of gather all these instruments and instrument makers and, as usual, like I said, we have a symposium on Thursday at Vermilionville, and we're going to have some of the instrument makers there, and then we're going to have some of the workshops at the Atelier are going to also focus on instrument makers and people who play the instruments. So it's really an exciting theme. It's one we've never done before. We kind of had it on our radar for a while, and, you know, having done the exhibits now for – this will be our fourth one. We've gotten pretty good at it, and I have not seen – I've seen the list of instruments, and it's pretty amazing. I've not seen what they've come up with as far as the exhibit itself is put together, but I'm really excited about the exhibit.
I think a lot of people are excited about the theme because, obviously, without all those instruments, none of this sound would happen.
Exactly.
And, you know, I think sometimes we think of it as, you know, it's an indigenous music, indigenous instruments, perhaps – I don't want to say this, but sometimes people think of these instruments perhaps as not the fine instruments that you might think for orchestras or
–
and sometimes don't think as much as they should about it. So focusing on the instruments that have created this sound, this very particular sound over the years, is a really great way to help us all appreciate what goes on in these bands.
Sure. And it's been kind of a generational sort of thing. I mean, people don't realize that there have been instruments – being made in South Louisiana for decades now. And so I think what this exhibit is going to do is put a focus on that, that people don't realize, we kind of take it for granted a little bit, the quality of the instruments that are made in this part of the world and how they have been on the stages now for decades, in the houses, in the homes first, then on the stages at the festivals and in the dance halls. And so I think what this exhibit is going to do is really say, wow, we've been making accordions here for how long, and guitars, and our Milton Gilbo, who made his first steel guitar out of plumbing fixtures. Barry was telling me about Barry Connor's tin tobacco fiddle.
Yeah, that's actually Milton Vanacore's.
Oh, Milton Vanacore, that's who it was.
Yeah, stick violin. Yep. Yeah,
right. And I guess just also to illustrate the waves of different types of instruments that have been used in the music. That sometimes we think when we go to a festival like Festivals Acadia, that it's always sounded like that. It's always been like that. But it's changed over the decades, and a lot of that has to do with the instruments that people made and were available.
Yep.
So, what were your first thoughts, Chris and Anya, when you were approached by the festival to put this together?
My first thought was, first of all, this could be totally amazing. I mean, I could almost see it when the idea was initially presented. I could just picture it in my brain. And then the second thought was, oh my God, this is going to be so much work. How are we going to pull this off?
Right.
You know? And so we've had all summer to you know, organize the different instruments. We have about 60 plus instruments that are going to be represented in this exhibit. It's everything from violins and accordions to guitars, electric and acoustic guitars. We have amps. We have percussion instruments, rubboards, triangles, drumsticks. Yep. Tifers.
My instrument of choice.
So it's just, it's a massive collection of instruments. You know, we're trying to keep the focus on, I guess, instrument makers that are, currently building, but then also harken back to all the instrument builders that have come before us. So it's mm-hmm. the earliest instrument that's locally built and going to be in the exhibit was built in the 20s. And it's a violin. It's a fiddle made mm-hmm. by Amar Andropont, who built it in Prairie Ronde, Louisiana.
Well, and the two of you come from very interesting backgrounds. Yeah. Both of you are musicians yourselves. Anya, you're a luthier. Mm-hmm. You repair instruments.
Yeah. And build
instruments. And Chris, you work with the Center for Louisiana Studies. And so you're very much a part of the archive and historical aspect of these instruments. So both of you, with your knowledge of playing music itself and then where you come from with the creation of instruments and the history of instruments.
Well, Chris also builds too. Chris builds violins, and we work together in my shop. So
okay, so more and more knowledge within the two of you.
Yeah.
So, but starting, I mean, you're excited about it. You know, it could be a fabulous exhibit.
Oh, yeah.
But where do you begin as curators of an exhibit? I mean, curators. It's an
and
art
we've
form
never
in
done
itself.
This before. You know, this whole like museum curation thing. This is a first for both of us.
Right.
So
it's not just like archives where you just like keep collecting and collecting. Yeah. You actually have to create a structure.
We have to collect everything, but then present it in a way that's compelling and write text to accompany everything and organize it. And, you know, it's
which we're still trying to figure out, you know. That'll be probably an hour before we open. We'll probably be changing things. So.
Yeah. This exhibit opens on Friday. It opens to the public on Friday. 6 to 8 p.m. is the official opening.
So. Right. So we'll have several weeks to see it before the festival actually begins, which is a real treat for a lot of people. But the bar has been set very high by festival and the exhibits that have been put together over the past few years.
Yeah.
I know I take such pleasure in going to the museum to see these exhibits because it really enhances our appreciation for the culture and the music.
Well, this harkens back to an original exhibit that Dr. Barry Onsley put together, one of the founder of Festivals Acadiens et Creoles, to a 1984 exhibit in which a lot of the instruments that are going to be in this exhibit were in that exact exhibit in 84. And so but you're right, the bar has been set high. I mean, we've done some incredible – not to sound pat ourselves on the back too much, but – beginning with the 40th anniversary, we did that amazing photographic exhibit that kind of went through the decades of the festival, this being the 43rd year. We did Robert Daffert's paintings last year. We did
the dance halls.
The dance halls, thank you.
This was incredible.
Claude Sharp and Philip Gould did the dance hall. All the amazing photographs of all the dance halls, past and present. And so, yeah, it's been a really – and it's been great working with the Hilliard University Art Museum also. They've been real supportive in our endeavor and giving up the building to us and also the grounds, because we have the anniversary stage that happens there as well. So it's kind of become – it was amazing. You know, just it's right across the street, but it seems like it's an out of Mongolia to some people. But it's right across the street, and so people are finally – over the years have
it's getting to be a part of their experience of festival.
Yes, it's becoming part of the festival experience. And more people are showing up over there. They're going over there to see the exhibit. And then we have an incredible lineup of bands. We really stepped up our game as far as the bands are concerned for that stage this year. Pine Leaf Boys, Balfour du Jour.
The anniversary stage on the grounds of the museum.
The anniversary stage on the grounds of the Hilliard Art Museum. So we really stepped up our game. And it kind of started out as a smaller stage, and it's really grown to really a full-blown third outdoor stage for us.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, this wonderful stage of the exhibit.
Yeah.
So if you're just tuning in, my guests are Pat Mold, one of the founders of Festivals.
A long time.
Yeah, honorary founder.
Yeah, honorary founder, yeah.
Festivals Acadien et Creoles, and Anya Burgess and Chris Segura, who are curating the exhibit at the Hilliard, which opens this Friday.
Yes.
And it's called Crafting the South Louisiana Sound, which is the theme of the festival this year. So people can go this Friday, an hour before. You'll be there scurrying around, making sure things are right in place. You mentioned there are 60 instruments, one dating all the way back to the 20s.
Yep.
So what else?
And then some finished this week.
Yep.
Oh, I mean, literally. I mean, I know of one guitar that was finished a few days ago, and then I know that there are about three violins that are being finished up this week and are going to be you know, in the exhibit starting on Friday.
You
know,
who are the makers?
Buddy Duchamp finished up an electric guitar last week, brought it to us the next day. And then the violin makers are Chris, Joel Pouts, and me, who are we're all finishing up instruments just for this exhibit. Just
which illustrates how vivant. The culture and the music is here. This is not a dusty historical tradition.
Under glass, as Dewey Balfour used to say.
People are creating new music as well as new instruments.
Yeah. No, I think it's – this exhibit, I mean, I think it's going to freak people out how cool it is, honestly. I mean, we have some of the most beautiful craftsmanship around. I mean, it's just – it's been so inspiring to me to – to, you know, as we've been collecting things, also to just talk to all the makers that have been crafting all these things. And visually, it's going to be inspiring. And then, you know, taking it to the next step, the fact that all these instruments are playable, I mean, it's just...
Right. Again, not just stored in an attic for decades.
Yeah, exactly. So,
Chris, what was very important to you about including in this exhibit? What did you want to make sure was included in this exhibit? Again, because you come from an archive and, you know, you're receiving material constantly from people calling you up and saying, hey, I have.
I think the ones that were most interesting to me were the ones that were made out of alternate materials. So, you know, violins that were not made out of maple and spruce, but, you know, say a violin that was made out of formica countertop material.
Yeah.
Or a violin that was whittled out of cypress.
Yeah. Both of those instruments will be in the exhibit.
steel guitar made out of plumbing fixtures.
Plumbing parts. You know, we have, of course, a CA guitar, which, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with. But that's a carbon fiber material. So, you know. Yeah.
And both at the same time, the most heartbreaking and inspiring part of the musical tradition here of, you know, the poverty that was here and but yet how people made do with what they had and how creative they were and what they did with anything they found around their houses.
I think that's what's been most, like, mind-blowing to me. Mm-hmm. Like, Warnashek Snyder, this guy that we learned about, who was a prolific guitar and fiddle maker, was not trained to do this by any means, but made some of the coolest instruments that I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, a couple of his relatives said that he wasn't even literate. You know, he was.
They were like engineers.
And his instruments are beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, just gorgeous. Yeah.
So, how have you set this up? Just to give people a sense of how you're layering this exhibit.
So we have we haven't even talked about the accordion, but we have about 20 accordions. So one room is dedicated all to accordions. One room is guitars, electric, acoustic, pedal steel, lap steel. Upstairs is a big fiddle room. All kinds of fiddles. And then we also have a percussion room with all the percussion
That's
instruments.
That's where your favorite one comes in.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's for you. But we also have a collection of incredible photographs that is, you know, accompanying this exhibit. So each room, having a theme, also has photographs of the makers of these instruments, some, you know, close-ups of how these instruments are built, workshop photos, pictures of the makers themselves and their collections or whatever. So, you know, visually, like I said, it's just it's going to be beautiful.
There's also going to be some video footage from the archive, as well as some audio.
Some video footage of these makers that are, you know, and that some of them talking about their processes and stuff. So.
Well, how exciting for all of us lay people who are not musicians, you know, who have not had occasion to enter those archives. We've heard a couple of these stories. You know, you hear those, you know, little legends about someone making out of a cigar box or something, and you might see instruments on stage at a festival. Mm-hmm. But for so many of us, we've never been close to these old instruments. Yeah. We don't know the history very well.
Yeah.
And what an exhilarating opportunity. For us to learn much more about the breadth of our culture, particularly this musical culture.
Yeah, I hope so.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So this is open to everybody this Friday. Anyone interested in musical instruments can go. And I would encourage people not to wait till that weekend. You know, that's a great time to go and see
the
this exhibit,
weekend.
The festival weekend. But I remember last year just frantically trying to tell everybody I could about the exhibit because it was the last weekend to see it. And so this is really nice because it gives us several weeks to see it before the festival takes place. But there were a lot of people who heard about the exhibit, but they had to leave. And and it wasn't possible to see it. So this is a nice thing to mark on your calendar if you can go this Friday to the opening.
And it's going to be up for 6 weeks. Okay. Yeah, this exhibit is being installed and right now, opening Friday, but it'll be up through the festival, which is, you know, the second weekend of October. Weekend. So it's going to be up. The days that it's open is Tuesday through Saturday. Every week until the festival.
Hayes Town. Ten to four.
It's actually Tuesday to Friday, 12 to 3, mm-hmm. and then on Saturdays it's open from 10 to 4.
All right. This Friday, will there be a number of musicians there? People can talk to them about the instruments,
yep.
and so that will be a really special thing about going to the exhibit opening on this Friday.
A lot of the makers have told me that they're planning to come on Friday night.
Yes. All right. And I believe also there's an unveiling of a poster in the pin for the exhibit opening.
Yeah, Dennis Paul Williams is the artist this year. He did an incredible image. I can't speak highly enough of the image. It's amazing. And so we're going to unveil that poster, I think at around 6:45, along with this year's pin, so you can purchase the poster and the pin this Friday. So it's open from the Hilliard is having their exhibit opening from 4 to 8. They have three great exhibits over there, and then we're going to do ours from 5 to 8. And so it's open to the public. Anybody who wants to come can come. So it'll be a great chance to be the first to see this incredible exhibit that Chris and Anya put together. And as well as see the poster and pin for this year produced by Dennis Paul Williams, who is an incredible artist out of St. Martinville.
And a musician.
And a musician. That's he plays guitar in Nathan and the Zydeco Cha-Cha.
That's right. And so many of his paintings feature some kind of instrument. I've seen, you know, like the accordion angel. And
yeah, he has some, these two incredible angelic figures on the poster that when you see him. And then he's got all kind of instrument imagery. And then his imagery is very cosmic and ethereal, and so it's going to be it's an incredible piece. I mean, really. And Megan Barra did the graphic design on it, so we all know what kind of work she does.
Yes, yes. Well, what an incredible continuity between the artist and this exhibit, and what you all are choosing to focus on this year at the festival. You know, just that which makes the music possible.
Yeah.
We all know about the musicians, but we do forget those tools that they use to create.
To go back to I thought what Chris was talking about earlier about how some of these guys just weren't even trained in this art of instrument making. I think that Barry and I have had this conversation for years and years now about that mindset is kind of pervasive throughout our culture here. I go back. The best example is the crawfish table with the hole in the middle of it. You know, these guys, they think, you know, a lot of them come from the oil field. They work with their hands. So they have these things that they see in their heads and they just automatically build them, whether they know how to build them or not. And so it's amazing. And so this is a great example of that whole mindset that just runs through our entire culture where, you know, if I got an idea, it's going to be practical. And I'm going to build it.
That's right. I have a job that needs to be done. I have a song that needs to be sung. Yeah. And I'm going to make what I need to.
So we're excited.
Yeah. So many examples of that. And I know John Loden's book on the making of the crawfish boat. And that just extends in every part of our culture where creativity has used what is available to us and has helped to solve a problem. Or not that music is a problem, but has helped to make it possible for the musicians.
Yeah. One cool thing, too, is like if you think about the accordion, the Cajun accordion is something that is such a regional instrument. You know, all Cajun accordions are built in South Louisiana or very close by, like in East Texas. And really, this is the only area where that instrument is built.
Because they wanted it to do something very particular.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you're playing Cajun music, even if you're in Europe, you're getting an accordion that's built right here. And so that, to me, is really, really interesting, too.
Astonishing. Yeah. The reason it should make us all very proud and appreciative
definitely.
Of the culture.
Yeah.
And everyone listening right now can do that this Friday at the Hilliard University Art Museum. This is really the official start of Festivals Acadia et Creole. Pat Mould has been involved with the festival since almost the very beginning, Pat. And
well, I've been to every one of them, I can tell you that. So
and
I'm dating myself now.
And I think one of the most amazing things about the festival, of course, course, is always the heart behind it and the desire to present music to people. But it's also adding something every year to increase our appreciation of the music and the culture. And you all really work very hard on
that.
And that includes these exhibits that are available and open to everyone. And this year, that exhibit illustrates the theme, which is Crafting the South Louisiana Sound. It's open to everyone. They can see it this Friday, 5 o'clock, I think you said.
5 o'clock.
5 to 8 in the A. Hayes Town Building. And that is in connection with the Hilliard's opening. And that's open to everyone as well. So you can appreciate that artistic side of our culture. But the musicians will be there. Chris and Anya will be there. You can talk to them about it. But it sounds like it's going to be beautifully laid out with, you know, each instrument having its own room and focus. Anything else we should know specifically about the exhibit? I know y'all are still fine-tuning it and putting things in there.
Yeah. I just encourage, even if you're not a musician, even if you, you know, you're not intrinsically attracted to instrument making, I think you're going to be very, you know, just impressed with the depth of creativity that's shown in the exhibit. It's been a really inspiring project, and I think most visitors were going to come away with that feeling. So.
Now, did you all mention, do you have instruments in the exhibit?
We
both
have instruments
of you
in the exhibit.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Anya, I know you're not from here. You're from the Northeast.
Yeah.
Did your sense of instrument building change when you came down here?
Well, it's just interesting because as a violin maker kind of moving here, I didn't know any violin makers. And I sort of felt like I was in my own little island. And kind of was like when I first came here, there really weren't that many active violin makers. Now that's changed, but, it's working on this exhibit has really just shown me that we're all instrument makers are in the same boat. We all strive to build something beautiful, to build something functional, to build something that's, you know, maybe going to even elevate the musician who plays it to another level of playing. We're all in the same boat, whether you're a violin maker or you're building amps or you're building guitars. It's just sort of made me like it's like a warm, cozy feeling just of like a camaraderie of instrument builders, you know. So it's been that's been like a little lanyup in terms of working on this exhibit is getting to know the makers. I mean, we've talked to every maker that's in it who's still around. I've been interviewing. I'm putting together a exhibit guide, so you'll be able to pick that up when you go into the exhibit with a paragraph about each maker. So it's and then each room has a little piece of history about that instrument. So yeah, even if you know nothing or you're not totally sold on it, go. Because
sounds
I think
like
it's going to be good.
Very well curated, very well guided. So, Chris, what is your special inspiration when you make instruments? You're from this culture. You've grown up listening to the music. You've played since you were quite young. But what inspires you when you approach making an instrument?
Violin making is a process that, you know, it's one of those things that you never truly, like, totally learn everything about. The second you do, you might as well – or the second you think you know everything about it, you might as well just quit. So for each new instrument that I make, I just strive to like improve on one thing. You know, if it's just like getting my eye to recognize one specific area and try to like improve on it a little bit, then I'm happy if I can do that.
And do you have kind of a true north for that? Is there a particular maker that you are inspired by?
I think – yeah. I mean, we're both like definite Antonio Stradivari followers. So
he's
we kind of use
Arneville,
his.
Right?
Yeah, right. Totally unexpected answer.
Right
I have to say that once. We could have another interview about that.
Why don't you use Mark's quote?
Oh, yeah. Mark Savo has a great quote that says, you know, Antonio Stradivari built, say, 1,000, 1,200 instruments, but 5,000 of them are in South Louisiana.
I think we're going
to. That's right.
I think that's probably the best note to leave this on. So you can see some of those 5,000 Stradivarius fiddles
locally made
in the exhibit curated
from Micah countertop.
Oh dear,
a genuine Stradivari.
Oh yeah. So one of the instruments that we have in there is a fiddle made by Wedison Reed, who is a farmer in Shupik, Louisiana, near Eunice. And so Mark got to know him pretty well. And so Mark commissioned an instrument for him to build out of cypress. And it's this amazing-looking creation. I mean, it's very heavy and thick-looking, but it's still, you know, it has the shape of a fiddle. But on the back of it, Mark has written in ballpoint pen, genuine Stradivo.
G-A-U-X.
Can you see that part? Is it
we're displaying things so that people will be able to see the fronts, the backs. Because, I mean, on a lot of these instruments, the back is just as beautiful, if not more, more beautiful than the front.
Chris is nodding enthusiastically.
Yeah, so it's like we're trying to place everything so where you can walk around and look at it.
Yeah, it's pedestal type viewing where you can walk around the entire instrument. It's going to be pretty amazing.
Yeah.
That sounds absolutely
We're excited.
Beautiful.
Yes. They're excited.
This great exhibit curated by my guests, Chris Segura and Anya Burgess, called Crafting the South Louisiana Sound. It opens this Friday at the A. Hayes Town Building of the Hilliard Museum. That building is open 5 to 8 to the public. Mm-hmm. Anyone can go and see this exhibit. There will also be the unveiling of the pin and the poster by Dennis Paul Williams. Mm-hmm. And so wonderful way to start the festival season. We're all feeling the fall in the air. And so this is a really nice time to go and celebrate that festival season. And then lots of other things happening leading up to the festival. We're going to have more people in the next 6 weeks come by to tell us more about the festival itself. But the exhibit will be up through the festival.
Yeah, so 6 weeks.
You can try to make the opening, but it will be up through there. Pat Mould, doing incredible things with the festival throughout the years. And again, adding this exhibit component to our appreciation of the festival. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you so much.